Lucky Few podcast listeners, my dear friends, I'm so grateful you're here with us today on an all new episode of the Lucky Few podcast. It is time to shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, we have two fantastic guests to chat about a very important topic. Adam and John White are brothers, and they are here to talk about all things adaptive fitness. We're excited to talk about their mission to empower and provide quality fitness for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So let's get to it. Welcome, friends, to the Lucky Few podcast.
This episode is sponsored by Able Now. Able Now accounts are the result of a grassroots cross-disability advocacy effort. The idea originated with a group of parents who recognized the inequity of not being able to save money in their child's name for fear of losing essential benefits such as Medicaid. These advocates helped to change the law so people with disabilities can achieve a better life experience. Today, Able Now accounts are available to qualified individuals in all 50 states. Learn if you or someone you know is eligible for an Able Now account at ablenow.com. ablenow.com.
All right, before we hear from Adam and John, it's time to read another review from one of you incredible listeners. Love you guys so much. Just let me just say that out loud right now. So this review comes from Ellie, and Ellie says, I can't even begin to describe what this podcast means to me. I've listened now for about 2 years, and this group of mamas and everyone they bring along to educate and advocate for our children with Down syndrome has given me so much comfort and friendship. Thank you for the work you do. Ellie, thank you for leaving that review. And today is no different. We've got incredible guests on to help educate and advocate for our kiddos. And if you are a listener and you also have appreciated this podcast, don't forget to leave a review. You can do so on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, lucky few podcast listeners, we are here today with brothers Adam and John White, who started True Fit Adaptive Fitness to solve the health and wellness inequities experienced by people with intellectual, developmental, and physical disabilities. They created an app that helps users create customized fitness programs specifically for them, along with a social network that supports the users to help them on their fitness journey. Adam and John hope that with the widespread adoption of their program, the high percentages of lifestyle-related health issues like obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease that negatively affect the disability community can be significantly reduced. John and Adam also operate a nonprofit 501c3 Waves for All, an adaptive surfing and sailing program in Carlsbad, California. We are so excited to have them on the show today to learn more about everything that they're doing for our community. Adam and John, welcome to the Lucky Few podcast.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Your listeners might notice that sometimes they're not sure who they're hearing. Me and my brother have been told we sound very much alike. So
we do, yeah.
It could be interesting, but we're so happy to be here. And like you mentioned, we're so happy to share the multiple things that we're trying to do to really help the community and kind of let everybody really get out there and live their best life.
Love it. I love it. So I met Adam, right? Mm-hmm. Adam at the National Down Syndrome Congress Convention.
Yes.
You guys were there exhibiting and you came over and shared about what you're working on. And I thought this is something our community needs to know about.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get into all of the details about True Fit Adaptive Fitness and the work that you all are doing. But if you can start, we'll start with you, Adam. If you can tell us a little bit about your background. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe where you're located and how. I want to hear from both of you why you've landed here. Why dedicate your careers to adaptive fitness? So Adam, we'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm Adam White. I'm the CEO and co-founder of True Fit Adaptive Fitness. My brother John and I started this together. I live in New Mexico, in the mountains outside of Albuquerque. And for me, my background was primarily in operations. Before I got involved in the disability community, I worked in the medical cannabis community here in New Mexico and ran one of the larger medical cannabis organizations. My brother at the time, and still is, he's a personal trainer, working with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and was working at the Arc of San Diego to develop an inclusive fitness program for them. I like to surf. I like to go out to California and visit him as often as possible, and ended up one day he invited me to come volunteer with him to do some of the group classes. This was sort of pre-COVID, so we were still doing in-person inclusive group classes there. And that was my first experience, an introduction to the Arc of San Diego and their members there. And for me, that was a really life-changing experience. It sort of prompted some discussion with my brother about what he was doing, why he was doing it, the uniqueness of his program and how effective it was. And that sort of started getting the gears turning of why isn't this more widespread? Why aren't there more adaptive fitness and health and wellness solutions for this community? And we decided to start working on, you know, trying to solve that problem, which led us to developing, you know, the app that we have now. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that. How about you, John?
That's the short version. And a lot of this goes back to I was in the Navy. My brother was also in the Navy. He didn't mention that, but we were both in the Navy. And when I was in, I became a personal trainer. Actually got injured myself. And that was my catalyst into kind of saying, hey, I maybe don't know everything about exercise and wellness. I'm, you know, need to kind of get myself caught up to speed. And as I did, I realized that this was stuff that wasn't really taught to me when I was growing up. And it wasn't really taught to anybody, you know, just we live in our bodies. And it's kind of like a mechanic understanding how to fix a car. We have these bodies, but we don't understand necessarily how they work and how to fix them. And I got really excited about that. I got excited about how the body works. I got excited about the brain. I got excited about the foot and what the foot is capable of doing for us if it hits the ground properly. And these things actually drove me to not just helping out people in my command with trying to stay in the Navy, but actually to get out of the Navy and to pursue a career in the fitness industry. I wanted to own a gym one day that would help everybody become, you know, strong and fast and all that stuff. Along the way, I got out of the Navy and I moved in with my brother, who at the time was kind of in a single parent situation with his daughter, who was just a small baby at the time, you know, 18 months old. And Adam at the time was actually working in the fast food service industry. So he was a manager for like a Starbucks and for other restaurants. And his weight had caught up to him. And so if you can imagine, TrueFit from the inception actually started when I got out of the Navy as a trainer and I moved in with my brother who was overweight with this little girl. And I couldn't help but think of how many other families are in this situation where I know he wants the best for himself. I know he wants the best for her. And I'm here sitting here looking at this thinking, I actually have solutions. I'm already getting goosebumps right now. This is great. But it just kind of was one of those things where it made me realize that the fitness industry that I had been in, which was more about competitiveness and who's stronger than who and a lot of machoism, that actually wasn't going to help out families who really just needed to learn about their body, learn how to move, kind of learn the concepts that can make you a human athlete. And be able to do that themselves and feel empowered. And so we developed a fitness product, actually. We had a product that we developed. It was inspired by my desire to want to get my brother and his daughter to exercise together. And that was the goal, was I wanted her to see him exercising so that she would want to exercise and then him to say, okay, I can teach you. Let's go ahead. I feel like I can do this. And so when you think about TrueFit, whether it's the original TrueFit, which was that product, or what's now become TrueFit Adaptive Fitness, it's always been about somebody looking at fitness differently, somebody looking at it and saying, I can do that. I know I need to do it. It's never been presented to me this way before, but this all now makes sense. And that's what we've run into. So we created TrueFit to help families get in shape, help them get outdoors. We wanted people to go camping and hiking and canoeing and surfing and all of those things. But we realize that if you don't have fitness as a foundation, you won't feel like any of that's for you. You'll always, mm-hmm. oh, that's not for me. I've never done that. But if you are in shape, you'll look at everything as maybe I can do that. Maybe I can try that. Mm-hmm. We should explore that. And so that's the idea behind TrueFit, is to get people to look at fitness differently. We've since kind of evolved from that fitness product. Because again, imagine my brother was over 300 pounds and I needed him to be able to exercise. So if that worked well for him, who else would it work well for? And we were going all over the world trying to get people to exercise with their families. And that led me to families who had individuals with a disability. And they said, hey, can you help my son? Can you help my brother? Can you help my mom? She's been injured, or she has this disability and she doesn't know what to do. And the answer would always be, yes, absolutely, I can help. And that led me to, as Adam mentioned, the Arc of San Diego. If folks aren't familiar with the Arc, they run day programs, a day center, they do job training. It's a really great organization and it's very inclusive. And I was brought there and they said, you know, we have a problem with fitness because everybody here is so different. Everybody's so unique. Mm-hmm. We can't just go all jogging. And I said, well, let's hold it on there, because we probably shouldn't be jogging, because a lot of folks here might not even have the right footwear on for athletic mm-hmm. endeavors. So we need to really take a step back. And as I told, I worked with the ARC. I talked to the executive director and many of the folks there saying, I want to create a program that you all will be able to then take over. You'll be able to have your ownership of this program. Your staff members will say, I can do it. Your family members will want to volunteer. They'll want to do it at home. And so I wrote a book, and it was a 400 page. It was going to be a coffee table book, a 400 pager. And of course, nobody's going to, you know, want a 400 page book lying around. So the idea then became, let's turn this into an app. Let's turn this into an electronic offering. Let's make it to where we can update it. We can create a social community. We can create tracking to help with research. You know, you can, it's amazing how little research is out there towards helping the disability population. But when it comes to getting a basketball player to jump an inch higher, well, there's tons of studies. If you want to, you know, find out about football player, you know, Achilles injuries or something, there's probably tons of information out there. But when we want to look at an individual with Down syndrome and trying to work with their feet to try to do proper foot exercises that will help us then with our gait and our balance and our proprioception, there's very little information out there because people maybe viewed it as too difficult, or maybe it's not for them type situation. And me and Adam, we realized that this is for us. You know, our experiences, he had a lot of medical experiences in his industry before, to where engaging with people and helping them to really improve their lives. And so I think he kind of got the bug on thinking like, wow, like I, as a single person, can make a difference in other people's lives. And I know I feel the same way. And so the two of us together, we're doing everything we can now to create this opportunity for people, to help lead those who need leadership, to help be a partner with those who need a partner in this. And we're just, again, so happy to be here and sharing it with your listeners.
Yes, thank you. Thank you both for that. I'm wondering, and I think maybe, John, you touched on this a little bit, but if you both could speak to it a little bit more. You worked... and you have this passion for fitness, and you've worked with different people and like families when to see them fit, and you ended up in the disability space. And what is it about disability that you landed there? Like, what was the thing that you're like, this is why we want to land with this population? You can both answer if you want.
I mean, if I had to trace it, we were in Scouts. We're both Boy Scouts. We were raised in a service family. Our mom was a teacher. She was a career educator. Our dad was a Army veteran helicopter pilot who would pull over and change your tire on the side of the road if you had a flat. And we just kind of, I think it was rooted in us to help others. It took a little while, I think, for us to find our strong suits and then to have the exposure. Because when I grew up, I wasn't exposed. You know, we don't have a family member who has a disability. My best friends all are now individuals with disabilities, my community has grown tremendously. And I found that what I'm able to provide for them sometimes is it's invaluable. And so if I can do that, I should do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for me, it was, you know, being exposed through John, you know, in California, going out, volunteering, you know, with the Arc of San Diego, and not having a personal connection to that before this was, you know, one of the things that I said this in an interview that I did recently was, you know, the intellectual development of this community is really, from my viewpoint, a ghost population, especially here in the U.S. And elsewhere too, globally. But, you know, you just sort of assume, they're taken care of. That's fine, you know. And that really was an eye-opening and heart-opening experience to me from day one. It was like, wait, like some of these programs don't exist, and you know what does exist is not affordable or not effective. And there's better ways, but no one's taking the time to do it. I didn't know any, couldn't find a fitness company out there that did anything that was focused on adaptive fitness for the disability community. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was really just mind blowing. Like, why has no one done that? Because they've always been, especially the fitness community, it's always been about the vanity of fitness, six pack abs and chiseled bodies. And, you know, how fast can you run or how high can you jump? It's about performance. And I think, you know, one of the things that John and I have always from day one when it came to TrueFit was we wanted to always focus on vitality over vanity. And that was something that we always said. And you know, to work in this community, it's just more rewarding. I love working with all the friends that we've made and just building this community that we have. It's an amazing network of just very, very you know, inspiring individuals out there who we just love working with. And for me, it's more than just running a company, but it's a community for us.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I think it's so interesting and I love what you guys are doing because like John, you had said, there's all this research and study for how to get a basketball player to jump one extra inch off the ground. And then Adam, you're saying the disability, especially the intellectual disability and developmental disability community is this ghost community that just somehow exists with everyone being okay that they're not members of our communities and our societies. And those of us who know and love them, we're like, wait, this is such a disservice to them, but to us, like to our entire humanity. And how that, if they can't physically get to a place, how can they access the community even, you know, like, and how many access points into our community require us to be physically able to do that with who we are within our own bodies. And so that adaptive piece, right? The goal isn't, I'm assuming, because it's an adaptive physical, you do adapt physical fitness is the goal isn't for the person to no longer need a wheelchair. No, they're a wheelchair user and that's fine. It's how do we help them access, be fit and their best themselves in their bodies and access the world so that they can access our communities.
Absolutely. In finding a new or a inspiration and a purpose, you know, if you wake up every day and you view yourself as less than, or you say, oh, well, the world's set up against me and I don't have an identity other than I'm a wheelchair user, that can be really tough. And it can set a tone for the day to where the excitement and the progress for making progress and really trying to push yourself. And a lot of folks are sometimes led to a life of comfort. It's all about let's get through the day. Let's get this over with and on to the next one. And let's kind of, you know, create a life that's comfortable. But as human beings, we need challenge and we need to overcome it so that we can have that feeling of achievement. And for like individuals who I work with the USA para surf team and I coach an individual who is 100% blind. And we go surfing in world-class competitions. I work with an individual who's paralyzed, who broke his neck and can no longer walk like we can, but he wants to go out surfing and I actually swim him out into the ocean. I let him use my legs. You know, I let my other friend use my eyes. I share those abilities. And I think it's just really special to where then they can have that identity of I'm an athlete, I'm a surfer. This is how I identify when I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about those things. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, for my one friend, a poster on the wall. Maybe it's for my other friend who's visually impaired, you know, objects, even clothing that he can wear that can just make him feel that identity. But if you don't have that, and if it's not something that you can be proud of, it's going to be something that might actually pull you down a little bit. And we know fitness is one of the greatest mental health, you know, boosters. It's the best medicine out there. Laughter and exercise, I mean, those are powerful things. But we're not getting through to the community who actually needs it the most. You know, we were at one point working and thinking along the lines of, you know, the families who are already into the outdoors. We were trying to work with them. Our goal was to get people, again, to look at fitness maybe a little different. And we always mention, you know, if you go into the outdoors and you're looking lost, somebody will probably stop and help you. But if you go into a gym and you look lost, they're not going to probably even talk to you unless you pay them, right, you know, $100 or whatever it may be. And so that's not right. That's not appropriate. And for people to think that it can't be done, or it shouldn't be done, or that people shouldn't be included in fitness or the outdoors, well, they're wrong, because it's absolutely for everybody. It just might require an adaptation. It might require a different approach. It might require a teammate who can say, oh, you're visually impaired. Well, guess what? I am not visually impaired. And so what would you like to do that I could maybe help you do? That's all it takes. And so, again, very, very important, I feel, the work we're doing. And I feel, again, hopefully we're going to set a very high standard, so that as more companies and more communities are kind of built out of this movement of inclusion, where my attitude is that if you're in great shape, then you should become a volunteer. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're the best at your sport, then you should help at an adaptive level or a para level. That to me is what makes like a real champion or somebody like that. And then if you're an individual with a disability, that there are these opportunities for you, and that there are people out there who can help you to maybe, if it's not gain independence, maybe to still achieve and perform at a very fun and rewarding level.
Yeah, that's great. So good. So let's get into this TrueFit Adaptive Fitness app that you have created and that you're putting into the world. And tell us what it is. Help our listeners understand what it is, what the TrueFit Adaptive Fitness app is, and then how it might be different from other fitness apps.
Well, it's an app that is specifically designed for people with intellectual, developmental, and physical disabilities and their fitness needs. So, you know, what one thing that John's done really, really well is creating an inclusive program before the app existed, right? And identifying the unique needs, you know, based on someone's characteristics that they need, and figuring out ways to deliver solutions for them. So, you know, whether you're a wheelchair user, you know, maybe upper limb adaptive or visually impaired, he's always had I always tell people, like, he doesn't think outside the box. He just sort of, the box doesn't exist in my brother's space. Like, there is no box, you know? And so looking at what he had created and saying, like, how can we turn this into an app that sort of thinks in the same manner as what goes on in John's mind? So that's sort of what I started working on in terms of technology development. As that evolved, initially it was, you know, be able to create customized workouts for a user based on their unique characteristics. And then I'm an avid cyclist and hiker and, you know, outdoors person out here in New Mexico. And I have a community on Strava. If you're familiar with that app, it's a fitness app. They track running, cycling, the GPS tracking. But the most important component of that app was, I have a lot of friends on there, and we organize rides together, and we challenge each other. We can give each other kudos when our ride is posted and things like that. And I felt that the reason I'm on that app is because of community, and the disability community also needs that community. They need that support. So what we did was we took a page from Strava and said, you know what, let's build in a social network where, you know, if I'm an athlete on the TrueFit app, my friends can be on there. I can be connected to my occupational therapist, possibly, or my medical providers, my parents or caregivers, even teachers. Like, we're, you know, right now we're exploring solutions for adaptive physical education for schools that don't have that solution for their students, right? So the idea was, and sort of evolved into what it is now and growing, is sort of being able to use the app as a cornerstone to building this global community that's focused on adaptive health and wellness, and is there to support and nurture an individual's journey of becoming, you know, more fit, have better health and wellness overall, and really taking that community and helping that drive those positive outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it's the great thing about the app is it really is for all levels of user. So for an individual who has never, ever worked out a day in their life, they're going to have solutions right off the bat. And one of the things Adam was talking about was that all the exercises have adjustments. It's not just here's how you do it and this is what it should look like. It's here's one way that we do it, and this might be what we consider the standard. But then there are ways to improve that and make it more difficult. There's ways to make that much easier. And so the idea is that every single user on the app is going to start from a point of success. And the idea is not to have somebody join the app and show them how unstrong they are or how much they cannot do, but it's to show them what you can do, what you're capable of today, right now, and then to help you literally create a blueprint, a roadmap of saying, I want to get to being at this level. I want to be able to do these things. And how can I then get there? Like Adam said, it's a journey. How can I go from A to Z, where A might be that first workout and Z might be you're out at my surf camp doing surfing for the first time. But for me, there's a lot of steps along the way. And what a user can do is they can explore individual concepts. So they can say, I want to work on flexibility, but I'm in a wheelchair. Okay, plug that into the app. There you go. Everything you're going to see now is going to be correspondent with flexibility exercises for wheelchair users. Say you need some assistance with exercise. A lot of individuals with autism, with Down syndrome, they might have, they need some assistance, but they have some independence in other areas. So the app allows you to find those reinforcers, those strong suit kind of exercises, and then also identify the things that we need to work on, maybe some balance, maybe some cardiovascular training. Maybe we just need to work on some body awareness. But the app will, again, it'll allow you to find exactly what you're looking for. And it starts you off at a point of success. You're going to feel like you did a good thing. You're going to feel rewarded. And if you're a parent and then you're using this app with your child, the instructions are there to show you how to set up the environment, things to look out for as a coach. And if we can get a family, a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister to become that coach or trainer, then not only is that going to save the family financially, but it's also going to create that, again, that feeling, that reward, that feeling of accomplishment. Now every workout is going to be a celebration. And that's the goal, is that this isn't a chore. This isn't something that you're being forced to do. It should be something that you really want to do. And that's why on the app, we have hundreds of exercises. We're over 250. We film the exercises with individuals who have different abilities so that people can see the variety of, here's my friend in his power chair. This is how he does it. Here's my friend in his manual chair. This is how he does it. Here's my friend who has cerebral palsy, but he's ambulatory. This is how he does it. And so as we grow our app, our members will actually be able to, if they feel that they want to be a leader, they'll be able to take a video of themselves, send that in to us, and we'll be able to show people then, hey, check out how here Susan, this is how she does this exercise. And well, over here we have James, and look at how he does this differently. And so people will not only be able to have a relationship kind of with the exercise, thinking, oh, I can do that. This is how I can do it. But now, like Adam said, they're going to build that social community. We're going to have Susan and James are on the app. We have leaders right now with multiple different abilities who are actually helping us to create the content, to give us ideas and suggestions. Mm-hmm. Every Friday night, we host a fitness social. And anybody, your listeners are invited to join us, but it's an hour-long hangout. And we just talk about things in ways that we can help our community. Everybody understands why we're all on that gathering. And it's to form a community that can grow globally, because we can only imagine all over the world, individuals with disabilities who don't have it the way we do here in the States, or like we do in some of our communities that are a little better off than others. our goal is to be able to bring fitness to everyone and to show folks just how accessible and how doable it is without necessarily needing the expensive requirements of a gym or hiring a trainer or having to, you know, really, really find a specialist or something. Because the idea is that as the family member, you know your individual, or if it's maybe your best friend, you know that person better than anybody. You know what motivates them. You know the keywords. You know the things that are going to get them fired up. And all of that can be used to then create a wellness lifestyle, a lifestyle that really it's a win-win for everyone. And that's the goal with the app, is to make sure people are getting that win on the first day and on the thousandth day.
I love that. I love that idea of starting with success and how important that is for humans. And I think especially, I have a 15-year-old daughter with Down syndrome and a 9-year-old son with Down syndrome. And bless their hearts, they just enter into a world where it's just not made for them. And so you just constantly hit that, like, not being successful. And I'll use air quotes even around successful, but that it's so important, like academically and physically, that you get to start at a place where you're going to be successful. It's so important. I love that you've landed there.
It's so neurologically developing too. If you can imagine it, and just the situation would be if I challenged everybody to a push-up competition. Well, right off the bat, some people are going to look at me and say, well, he's obviously going to win. So their mind is already starting a process of defeat. Whereas if we can show people, well, hey, I didn't explain that you can actually do a push-up these 10 different ways. You choose the way you want to do it. Well, now I'm definitely going to lose. And the person who realizes that, oh, if I do it on an incline and I do it against the wall, I can do 200 push-ups. But that now sets the mind up for that positive thinking and the drive towards wanting to be creative, wanting to make literally making connections in the brain that are built on positivity as opposed to negativity. And imagine going into a PE room. Like Adam said, we're working with schools because a lot of adaptive PE sometimes is just watching the other kids play lacrosse or whatever, or getting wheeled around the track, where we know there's so many opportunities that those individuals could be doing together that will benefit them both. But if it's not being put out there as you're going to be successful, well, then when it's suggested, who's going to want to try it? Why would you want to do something you know you're going to probably not do well at? So what we've created is success. We've made it to where you can feel good and you can go in there, whether it's at the school level, the home level, or even in a gym. We teach people how to go into the gym, how to use the treadmill, how to use the equipment, and what equipment to maybe avoid. Because some of that equipment is absolutely not for certain individuals. And if you don't know that, you could get into what, for me in the industry, the worst thing that can happen is you get into the injury cycle. Because the injury cycle, it's a cycle and it's a downward spiral of injuries. And then, oh, I can't do this. And then you don't recover. And then your injuries compound. Whereas if you can get into a growth cycle, if you can get your body and your mind feeling like, well, even if something isn't, I'm not strong at it today, if I continue at it, I will improve. The body will respond to that. And we know the body is an incredible organism, the mind even more incredible. And we know that fitness is one of the most important factors that affects those two things. And you know, going from the mind again, just for the body, cardiovascular disease, obesity, diabetes, you know, having these issues and knowing that, again, this is part of your identity now, that can be a real drain and it can make you unmotivated. But ideally, if you have diabetes, we absolutely need to be exercising, but it's certain exercises, not all exercises now. And that's where the app can come into play. That's where you can actually say, look, I'm not looking for these really difficult ones or these ones that might get an injury. I'm looking for the ones that I can graduate into. And that's what we provide.
Very cool. I want to take a little turn here and shift more specifically to people with Down syndrome, because that is the majority of our audience as the Lucky Few podcast. And so a couple of questions that I'm going to put together is, some issues that are central for individuals with Down syndrome when it comes to fitness that you have discovered. And then with that, how families and caregivers, how we can help our loved ones with Down syndrome prioritize fitness in their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, the number one thing, and I'm sure folks have maybe heard this, maybe not, but we got to start when we're thinking about the body and we're thinking about an individual who has Down syndrome, that we do have differences that are going to be genetic. They're going to be there from birth. And some of that's going to be in the pelvis. Some of that's going to be in the feet. Some of that's going to be in our bone density, our muscle tone, even in our heart too. So there's characteristics that if I'm talking to a parent who maybe doesn't know about this, but they understand, you know, my child wants to be more active, or I want them to be more active, and we're getting older. Maybe we're now, you know, 8 years old or 12 years old or 15 years old. And we're realizing that there's a whole long life ahead of us. And the decisions we make now are going to be some of the most important ones that we can do. And so working on the feet would be something that would be incredibly important, making sure we have the right footwear, making sure if we have orthotics and that our doctors understand that we're going to be trying to do some physical activity. Talk about setting someone up for failure, putting them in the wrong shoe and asking them to exercise. You can imagine if somebody has a flat foot and we're putting them in just a shoe off the shelf for athletic shoe, that could almost be like putting me in a high heel and asking me to go running. And so if we're not thinking about the foot, we're not thinking about how the body is then set up as a structure, and we need to do that. So the feet are going to help with the ankles. We need to work on foot mobility, dexterity, coordination. We need to improve stability and balance. In the fitness, in the health world, we have the term proprioception, and that's our body's sense of understanding where it is in space. Mm-hmm. So if you're falling, you know you're falling. If your arm's out to the side, you just know that. You don't have to even look at it. And that can go all the way to fall prevention and things, to where we're actually teaching our body how to work with gravity. Sometimes gravity can be stronger than what our body can handle. And if we fall down and now have an injury, we're in a cycle, and we have to get out of that. We need to train out of that, and we need to do it appropriately. Talking about the pelvis again, some folks might be like, oh, here's an exercise machine at the gym. Let me just have my daughter sit down in that and do this with her legs, not understanding that, well, the position of her femurs in the pelvis is going to be different, and that this machine is actually expecting you to be kind of in like a athlete, like a football player or something, you know, and so you can't adjust, you can't adapt the machine. Mm-hmm. But what you can adapt is doing exercises with different foot placement, or maybe with an orthotic or like a wedge under the shoes, or maybe do an exercise with support where you're holding on to something and it's allowing you to not have to deal with gravity all on your own. Maybe it's a coach technique. As a family member, there's techniques we could do to be able to do lower body exercises that would be much more beneficial for the hips. But they might look more like dancing than they do a military workout. But I'll tell you what, hula hooping and hula dancing and all those things, that's some of the best exercises you can do if you want to avoid back pain and you want healthy hips. Mm-hmm. But how many folks actually look at a hula hoop and say, I'm going to try? No, they look at that and say, oh, that's not for me. That's too hard. Mm-hmm. Well, if you try it and you keep at it, even if you're not getting it, you're still getting the benefit for the body. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the heart, and you know, some folks with Down syndrome have cardiovascular issues. Their heart can't actually keep up sometimes with the exercise. So, you know, there's what we call the RPE, which is the rate of perceived exertion. That's where I always empower mom and dad, because I'm like, you know your son, you know your daughter, you know your brother, sister, and you can tell when it's time to bring it back a little bit. You can also know when it's time to push a little bit. Heart rate monitors and things like that can help. They can give you real-time tracking. One of the things I've realized is that a lot of times, especially when we're in if I'm working with somebody who has Down syndrome and we're in a cardiovascular situation, the motto, remember to breathe, comes in a lot. And if you don't breathe, I mean, we could try it right now. We could all hold our breath and start trying to do jumping jacks, and you'll realize that, wow, I could only do like 10. because at a point your body is going to build up the carbon dioxide, the oxygen's now not getting to those muscles, and your body's going to say, I'm done. Even if you want to keep going, I'm done. So a lot of times when I'm working with individual Down syndrome, I'm actually working on a breathing cadence. The heart would be getting what it needed from the body, the lungs are getting what they need. And so now the muscles are able to perform. And then she's able to have, can you imagine the feeling of somebody running a mile for the first time and knowing that she had earned this over a year of training? You can't take that away from her.
Yeah.
And so now she can put that in her bag of accomplishments.
Very cool. So cool. What is the recommended age to start adaptive fitness habits?
I mean, it's at every age. I mean, it really starts early because it starts with crawling. It starts with crawling. Yeah. It starts with reaching for things. My daughter is 16 months old right now, and I'm watching her develop day by day and working with her, again, at a pace that makes her successful with these little challenges. But it starts right away. And it starts with the family realizing that this is a family thing. This is actually, and again, it's not a chore. This is something we should want to do. We should want to go out and explore and kind of have that human curiosity of what's out there and what can we do. But again, we're just going to be a little more thoughtful about it. I would say when you think about exercise in the form of our app, and if you were looking at, like, you know, what age would be the best to where we could maybe do all the exercises on the app, that would probably be around, you know, 6 to 8, you know, maybe 10, maybe 10 years old. But prior to that, a lot of the exercises, they are gameplay. They are neurological exercises. I would say 20% of the exercises on the app, the exercise itself, the focus is it's a brain builder. And it's something that maybe has you memorize a pattern, or something that has you work on one task following the other, where they're too varied on the tasks to get the mind to really focus. A lot of exercises also involve teamwork. So you could actually plug in on the app, I want to work on all teamwork. And every exercise you see will have that team component. So learning that at a young age is absolutely ideal. If we're learning how to work together with others, if we're learning how to do things that make all of us feel good, then we're learning that exercise is fun. Exercise is for me. It's something that I want to do. So there's really, you know, fitness doesn't have an age requirement. You know, it's not like a roller coaster where you got to be so high to start exercising. You actually need to be exercising from the very beginning. And with me, it all goes back to, you know, crawling, walking as much as we can with support if needed, with orthotics and devices if needed. It's going to be all ages. Everybody's welcome. And to make it if you're in a family or like a group home setting, to make it something that everybody does. Make it a thing. Make it a family thing.
On that note, like the age, and you had mentioned, you know, you have a 18-month old, and walking and crawling, all of that. We know in the Down syndrome community, in the disability community, that from the very moment of a diagnosis, we're partnered with occupational therapists and physical therapists. And so we have professionals who are coming alongside us in those early years, especially to help us with our kids' movements. How is TrueFit connecting with providers, like medical providers, OTs, yeah, PTs? You had mentioned working with schools, but we have people listening to us who are in those spaces and they're interested in your app.
Absolutely.
What can they do to connect?
This is, I call this an extension of that process. You know, if you can imagine, if we're maybe meeting once a month, the app can then actually fill those other 29 days out of the month with the exercises, the ideas, and then also the communication. So when somebody's occupational or physical therapist, they can be a part of this individual's unique team. Let's imagine a family to where yourself, you're on there and you're on there as a coach, and your son and daughter are on there as athletes. And then your family occupational therapist is on there as a coach. And the four of you actually create team Heather and kids. And so what that occupational therapist is now able to do is to work with you as the parent and to continue on that learning process that you might have done in person or you know, at the clinic. and then also be able to have your feedback and to be able to say, oh, hey, you know, we were, this is our, was our goal. And I see you've reached that goal. Actually, I see you've exceeded that goal. That now gives me some ideas on what we're going to do on our next visit. And one of the things that, and they will see as you look into the app, and parents, I hope, will appreciate it, is there is a kind of a line of activity that can cross into an OTPT kind of scope of practice. And so what we've done with the app is we've developed it in a way to where we try to create it in a fitness scope of practice, but things like manual manipulations and techniques that might be something that is more appropriate in the clinic, well, they actually, we won't have those on the app in a way showing a mom, say, hey, this is how you, you know, PNF stretch the hamstring. We're actually going to suggest that people learn about the stretching techniques, but then to find those practitioners and to work with them. And even massage therapists. I mean, wow, what an underappreciated population of people who could really help this community if we can find a way to bring them together. Mm-hmm. I know many of my clients I work with, I would love for them to get a massage every week at least, to help the progress that we're doing through exercise.
Yeah, that I love the community aspect to it here. I love hearing both of your guys' hearts for community and for bringing so many different pieces together. You've cast your vision very clearly. I'm like catching it, and it's inspiring and exciting to know that you're putting it out into the world. And so we just have a couple more minutes together, but I want to talk real briefly, if you can, just about your adaptive surf school that you have, because I live close by and everyone needs to hear, because everyone's listening, but we're like only about an hour, 15 minutes from you. So you have your nonprofit called Waves for All.
Oh, you definitely got to come down.
Tell us about this program. Both of my kids with Down syndrome have been up on surfboards, and I went surfing for the first time in my whole life this year at 41 years old. And
welcome to the club.
Thanks. I'm all about it, but I would love to hear more about Waves for All.
So we are the club for you. We're the club that is, I mean, sometimes I joke we're an underground club. Obviously I'm talking about it on a podcast, so we're not super underground. No, we go surfing. And so that's the goal, is we are surfers who love surfing. So we created Waves for All. So if somebody went to a clinic, if somebody's tried surfing and they know they love it, they want to do it more often, we do it every month. And we do it every single month on the last Sunday of every month, even if that day happens to be Christmas Day. That's right. We just did it on Christmas Day. What a great Christmas present to your family member who wants to go surfing. Is Christmas? Absolutely. And so we did this because it just like the app, it didn't exist. There was a lot of surf organizations out there. A lot of them were exclusive. They were for a certain group. You had to have a spinal cord injury. You had to have, you were a leg amputee. Well, you can come to this one. And I was realizing that the volunteers at all of those were all the same volunteers, and that we didn't care. And the ocean didn't have like a, well, it's Thursday, so Thursday's autistic day, and Friday is just neurotypical, and Saturday, Sunday is a free-for-all. It wasn't like that. And so what I did, and again, I was in the Navy, and you know, I'll take some, you know, salt with it, but I decided, well, I'm going to do what the ocean wants. And what the ocean wants is for people who love the ocean to get to come to the
great
ocean.
Way to start the
it's
day,
very simple.
Right?
And we facilitate that. So we bring out wheelchair access. We have sand accessible wheelchairs. We let families come out and spend the whole day at the beach. We let the individuals surf as much as they want to surf, with the goal of surfing independence, to where an individual might surf with us for the first time or second time, but within a year, they're actually out surfing on their own now, with total confidence in their abilities, and with the parents having total confidence. We also, I mean, we're Waves for All. So we have individuals who are elderly. We have folks who have had injuries that have made them disabled. We have folks who have had a disability their entire life. We all love each other. We all love the ocean, and we get together and we celebrate that every month. But to make sure that the IDD community was not just brought along, but was kind of put forward, of saying this community, no matter what, is coming with us. And what I found at Waves for All is my friends who are missing legs love to help volunteer with surfing with one of my friends who has autism or Down syndrome. It is incredible. The purpose that we can give to somebody with a physical disability by including them, it is beautiful. And for some reason, it hasn't really been brought together in this way. And we feel that this is something that we can do.
Yeah, for sure. So then how, tell our listeners, where are they going to find you and how are we getting this app? Just our, what's the website? Give us all the information that people could do it right now.
Yeah. So our marketing website is gettrufit.com. That's GETTRUFIT.com. If they want to sign up for the app, they can go to app.gettrufit.com. We're not just a mobile app anymore. We're also on the web. So we have that URL where they can sign up. One of the things that we're really hoping to get the word out now is what we're starting off is the community partnership program. This is a way for us to give back to nonprofit organizations and help support their mission financially. But we're looking at and also affiliates, even the Lucky Few. This is something that you guys could potentially do as well, where you guys are set up as an affiliate. And what we're doing is a revenue share program. We're actually giving a residual revenue share on every subscription through a unique URL kind of thing. And we're getting ready to launch that here in a couple of weeks. It's pretty exciting. We have National Down Syndrome Society that we're talking to right now about taking, their 3-2-1-go program. It's not digitized, but they want to have an app, and we're talking about bringing that and in a way white labeling it, and putting it into the app. And then there'll be the 3-2-1-go in the SS community within the app. That's the whole premise is to create community through the app. And local organizations, national, regional, what we want is to have them come on board, partner with us. We'll work with them to set up a fitness club at their organization or whatever they want to call it. And we can build that community on a local level, which just then leads to building that global community that's focused on adaptive fitness.
Very cool. Very cool. Adam, John, I love what you guys are doing. Again, you have cast the vision so well in this interview, and I feel like I completely understand what you're up to, and I'm cheering you on. Absolutely.
Awesome.
And
we will be,
our family will be participants and be downloading this app for our own children. So thank you for the work you're doing.
Wonderful.
Thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for having us, Heather. This has been great.
Thank you so much. We'll be in touch, and listeners, we'll have all of the links in our show notes as well. So if you didn't get it all jotted down, just head to our show notes or go to the luckyfewpodcast.com, and all the links will be there as well. Thank you guys so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Heather.
We're going to take a break and be right back.
This episode is sponsored by Able Now, tax advantage savings accounts for eligible individuals with disabilities. Many people still think the old rules apply, that Americans with disabilities can't save for the future if they are receiving disability benefits or if they want to be eligible for benefits in the future. However, Able Now accounts remove these limitations, offering financial peace of mind for millions of eligible individuals and their families. Able Now accounts are the results of a grassroots cross-disability advocacy effort. The idea originated with a group of parents who recognized the inequity of not being able to save money in their child's name for fear of losing essential benefits, such as Medicaid. The Achieving a Better Life Experience Act, better known as the ABLE Act, was passed, opening the door for these tax advantage savings accounts that are specifically designed for people with disabilities. ABLE Now is available to qualified individuals in all 50 states. Learn if you or someone you know is eligible for an ABLE Now account at ablenow.com. ablenow.com.
It is time to wrap up this episode. Friends, head over to theluckyfew.co. Use code PODCAST, PODCAST, to get 10% off all of your narrative shifting gear. Josh Avis, thank you for editing this episode, and Ashley Racolosi for producing it. If you like this episode, share it with family and friends, and don't forget to subscribe. You can head to theluckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things that we talked about today. Thank you to Adam White and John White and True Fit Adaptive Fitness for being on the podcast today. And make sure you're following us at The Lucky Few Pod over on Instagram. And listener, we love you. You're slaying it. We are here cheering for you. And we can't wait to be together on another episode next week. Until then, exercise on.